we had to lie down on this block, sort of like arched over this block on the floor, and it fucking wrecked. And they were like, yeah, well, basically, we're going to put loads of flames and loads of fire and loads of like just mental shit happening around you. And if you can do that, and we're going to put fire in your hands. And they were saying that, and I was just like, was a bit weird, but yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 87 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and as of late, now, via the education system, he is now recognised as a first-class honours degree journalist. Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, also known as Rumney's artist rapper, Mo Dick. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you Morgan Richards.
Wow, thank you very much, Sean. Yes, it is me, Morgan Richards, with a first-class honours. This is episode 87 of Sapnin Podcast, and on this episode, everyone will realise that life's not out to get you. You're just in bloom between the peace and the panic.
Fucking hell. I don't know. I disagree. Number one, I disagree with the panage. Number two, I disagree with life isn't out to get you. Because it is. It is. I'm having a dreadful day. But yes, this week's guest, if you couldn't tell by Morgan's dreadful puns, are the wonderful, wonderful boys in Neck Deep. Yes, I want to call this episode Neck Deep 2, Neck Deeper.
We should have some funky title for it, but I think it sounds better if you put on a dramatic, cinematic voice, Sean. So if you could say that title again, just so everyone listening now can really understand how much of a blockbuster sequel this podcast episode is going to be.
Okay. Coming to a podcast near you, two men, Sean and Morgan, speak to Ben and Seb from Neck Deep. In Neck Deep 2, Neck Deeper.
Oh,
that's not too bad. I quite enjoyed that.
Thank you.
If anybody's listening and needs a voiceover artist for any films, animations, anything, please get in touch at sapninpodcast@gmail.com.
But yes, Neck Deep are returning. This is their second appearance on the Sapnin Podcast. Ben is back, bringing his brother Seb Barlow, and obviously it's a huge celebration because today, right now, is the release of their new and fourth studio album, All Distortions Are Intentional, and we're going to have a giant party just celebrating that now.
Yes, it was lovely to see Ben again, and it was lovely to chat to Seb for the first time, who then proceeded to follow me on Instagram.
Ooh.
Which, so if there's any listeners to this who are thinking, oh, I wonder who the future's guests are, all you need to do is follow me on Instagram and then see who starts following me, and then you could be like, oh, 2 and 2, 9. but yeah, Ben and Seb came on, and we had an absolutely lovely chat with both of them on the first podcast. If you haven't checked it out, please go back and have a listen to it. We met up with them at Cardiff Motorpoint Arena, and we talked to Ben about some people said that Neck Deep only got signed because Ben's father owns a record label.
Mm.
It's not the case anymore, is it? No case anymore.
but there is an update with that on this episode as well. And just in case you didn't know, Seb officially joined the band earlier in 2020 after being a key figure for them behind the scenes. He's an established producer himself, did loads of Neck Deep's earliest material, as well as things like As It Is, Rome, and a whole host of bands. So the four of us are just going to talk about everything from their new album, the secrets behind it, Seb's journey and how he became a full-time member of the band, an update on the whole fuck Neck Deep, their shit phase, and two incredible topics of their tour with Lil Wayne and what that was like, as well as many other shenanigans, but how a record producer almost scared them out of LA and they almost didn't make this record.
Yeah, we had some very, very interesting stories. I was specifically eager to talk about Lil Weezy, Lil Wayne, as you'll find out. Yeah, it's super interesting. So, yeah, thanks again to Ben and Seb. As we mentioned, we've done a previous podcast with Neck Deep, and I'm sure we've done one with at least one of your other favourite bands by now. So please have a look online. Go to Twitter and Instagram at SappeningPod. That's at SappeningPod. And yeah, check out Sapling Podcast with Sean Smith online and look back at some of the previous episodes.
Yes, give us a follow on the social media pages. Send us a message. Let us know who you'd like us to speak to in the future. And as Sean said, go back and listen to all the previous episodes. Neck Deep Volume 1, I don't know, is episode 12 with Ben and Matt. And yeah, there's a whole host of episodes from every single episode. Aspect of the music industry, so you'll enjoy, you'll learn something. And if you think, oh god, all this is so good, I want even more content in my ears, then why not head over to patreon.com/sapnid, where there's even more bonus exclusive content, and you get to join our loving community and become a Sapnid Podcast family member.
Right, I know we talk about it every week, but I have to talk about it this week. This podcast community has become something bigger than me, bigger than you, bigger than us as a force together. I just want to say thank you very much to everybody involved in it. Last week they did something absolutely beautiful where they secretly had a whip round for somebody who's not doing too good at the time, and to see that they raised that amount secretly. I didn't even know till like the last couple of days that they were doing this, the sly bastards. But yeah, they did something absolutely beautiful for somebody, and it's unbelievable. I am honoured to be part of it. So thank you very much to the guys in the community, who are the most caring and kindful bunch I've ever come across in my life.
Yes, same here, literally. They're some of the best people you'll ever meet. And that's at patreon.com/sapnin. If you want to see what it's all about and join our ever-growing and lovely community, we love every single person in there. So before we go into the... Before we bring in the boys from Neck Deep now, won't go too longer. But as Sean did mention, I've said celebration this episode is a little bit. So I just want to touch, as Sean mentioned in the start, got my university... results this week.
Yes, you did.
So now,
what were you expecting? Were you expecting like a 2-1?
I was kind of thinking like, oh, 2-1 would be good, and you know, first would be amazing. But you know, face it, it's not going to happen. Everyone who listens to this podcast knows I get words wrong and make shit jokes and ask silly questions. So, am I really going to get a first for, you know, journalism and get a degree from being a first? But it turns out, bloody did.
So really, what we need to do is really have a strong look at the education system, is what you're saying now.
I'm just saying, let's not send any of these podcasts to the people who mark university degrees.
Imagine that. Imagine if the people who mark the degree called you back in and were like, oh, yeah, you failed. I've listened to you try and say journalist in like one of the early episodes, and you said journalist.
Literally.
And guess what? You can't be a journalist. You can't have a degree in journalism if you can't say it.
Madness.
Oh, I need... But again, congratulations, you swotty shithead. You absolute swotty, nerdy virgin. You're a nerdgin. You're a nerdy virgin, swotty. I got a degree. Well, guess what? I fucking have it. And oh, I got nothing to show for it. Shit. Piss. I've done nothing.
It's fine. I won't throw my degree in your face throughout this podcast and future episodes or anything, Sean.
Oh, but when you get it. Have you got it? Have you got the actual degree?
Not yet. It hasn't come in the post yet.
I was going to say, because I can't see it right now on the camera, so I'd imagine if you'd had it, I would have just been looking at a degree for the... Hi, Sean. Morgan here. I'm better than you.
But I just wanted to take a few seconds just to say thank you to everyone who sent a message through the podcast or to me personally and stuff for everything for the results. It's been seriously overwhelming. I've had so many messages. I'm still in the process of trying to reply to them all. So I'm sorry if I haven't got to yet, but I love you all very, very much. Thank you. It's been so overwhelming. I don't know how I've done it, but here we are. Morgan Richards, degree in journalism.
Yes, go and say congratulations if you want to Morgan at @mhrichards_ on Instagram and Twitter and I don't know, Facebook and TikTok. Got a TikTok yet?
No. We should. No. I don't know what we would do, but I think we should. Nah.
No. 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 No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, I've had sex with someone and I'm an adult, so I'm probably not going to have TikTok.
Ooh, look at you showing off. But anyway, let's get in to the wonderful boys from Neck Deep. This is Ben and Seb, their new record, All Distortions Are Intentional, is out today. It's bloody awesome. Go and buy a copy, but first listen to them tell you how fantastic it is.
Yes, their song Fall is fucking cracking. I've been listening to a lot lately. Anyway, here we go. Sapnin!
Neck Deep 2. Neck Deeper.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sapnin. Yes! Yes! This week on Sapnin Podcast, our guests are the fantastic Ben and Seb from Neck Deep. Thank you so much for coming back, boys. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Just, to be honest, I had such a shit time last time. I thought I'd come back just to ruin it this time and just let you know how bad it was. I haven't spoke to you since then, so I just thought I'd give you some pointers.
Yeah, I've been keeping up with it, boys. It doesn't seem to be going that well. Here's a couple of Ben's ideas. Ben's back for a second time, but we've got Sapnin first timer. I nearly said virgin, but that's not nice. Sapnin first timer, the wonderful Seb. How are you, Seb?
I'm all good. I'm chilling. Been super busy, but all good.
Nice.
Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Oh, pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, all ours.
Yeah. How's things being with you guys anyway during these crazy, crazy times?
All right. To be fair. Adapting. Yeah, a lot of adapting, but we've had a lot to take our mind off the craziness. Obviously, album on the way, so that's been a nice distraction.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's a good point. It has been nice to just have that like light at the end of the tunnel, but just like that thing to focus on and be stoked about, just to like keep us going through stuff, has been really fun.
Yeah, I think if we didn't have that, we'd definitely be feeling it. I think they got a point halfway through this lockdown where I was like, I am a piece of shit. I don't do anything. I just play FIFA all day and I wake up and at fucking 1 PM and just stroll around in my pants and do nothing. I'm a piece of shit. But then as the albums got closer, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in a band. Forgot about that. So, that's been good, yeah.
Yeah. But I suppose for you, Ben, especially, like, it must be weird to have just time off, not being on the road as constantly as Neck Deep as being and stuff in the past.
Yeah, man, super weird. Super, super weird. I don't know if we'd have anything on this weekend, but like over the last couple of weeks, we should have been in like Sweden, Ireland, going download, fucking Reading and Leeds coming up next month. We would have had, you know, gone over to America to do some bits, like, and all that's kind of been taken away. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's a bit weird. It's been nice being at home in ways, you know. It's been good being able to like sit and chill with me missus and me dog and that. But it's definitely made me fucking forget like. Made me realize how much you love touring. Because I think it's easy to get a little bit, you know, same with anyone. As you know, someone who's got the best job in the world is going to get to a point where they go like, oh, you know, it's pretty standard procedure for me. But, you know, not being on tour has definitely made me realize like, oh my God, how much I need to be out and about and be traveling and doing stuff. Yeah, like I said, you know, you get to a point where you go, I can only play so much FIFA and scratch my ball so much before I start getting fucking cabin fever. So, yeah, it's definitely made me, like, give me the itch to get back out. When that'll be, fuck knows. But, yeah, it has been odd, like.
Yeah, so, yeah, Seb, we were talking just before this, and I asked how has it been since you joined? And your answer was genius.
Easy. I've done fuck all. We haven't been doing anything. Yeah. Sound the easiest. I mean, I don't mind. Like, I don't have any point of reference for being on tour so much. I'm used to being like in a room on my own or like just doing my thing all the time. So it hasn't really been much of a bother for me. But in terms of like fitting in and joining the band and all that, it's the same as it's always been. So it's dead easy.
Yeah, so, I mean, the band pretty much started in your bedroom, really, Seb. Like, you know, I was, you know, one of the founding members, whatever, you know, that definitely gives me a nice ego boost when I say that. I like that. Thank you for when I say that. Founding member. It makes me sound like founding father. But Seb pretty much was as well, you know. Seb was there when Seb recorded our first stuff, you know, did it in his bedroom. So it really has just been like nothing's really that different.
And we've always done that anyway. We've always like written music together and recorded music together. Like we've been writing and recording music together for
yeah.
A long,
I was
long
always
time.
The annoying little brother that when you had bands around, I would come up and just start hounding people for ciggies, or you know, saying, "Oh, throw that DVD in my face for a cig," or sellotape a fork to my head for a cig or something like that. And then through that, wormed my way in and, you know, eventually convinced Seb to record me for once.
And yeah, and now you can afford your own cigs. Yeah. So it's full circle.
Yeah. Big boy now. Big boy now. Get served. Get ID'd. Haven't been ID'd in years, mate.
But with all that as well, how did the really process of Seb becoming an official member of the band come about? Because, you know, as you said, big fans of Neck Deep will know that, you know, Seb, you've just been always there in the background working on stuff, produced a lot of the early material. But how did it transition to being in the background to now actually being an official member of Neck Deep?
I think the biggest, like, spur for me personally, like, it's kind of, I say a long answer, but I guess the short of it is like right time, right place. But like without it being too much of a fucking PR thing, I just like connected with the album a lot. Like I just loved it start to finish and it really resonated with me. And like, I wanted to play these songs live. Like I wanted to like feel a part of it. You know what I mean? But it came about.
Even shorter story, actually, we got fucking battered in a Weatherspoons and you suggested it and then none of us would drop it, really. So yeah. There you go. Even shorter answer, but sorry, go on.
No, that was literally what I was going to say next. The short of it is we should mention
the fact that I was bladdered. You were a bit more on it, but oh god, yeah. I remember you saying that, and my pissed brain just going, "What? You want to be in the band?" Because it was weird for me, because I remember the reason I even wanted to be in a band from the start, really, was from watching you play shows all the time and being like, "Fuck, that looks like the sickest thing ever." You know, being around recording bands and stuff. And when you would stop playing in bands, that was, to me, that was quite a big deal. And I thought, oh, that's it then. Seb's never going to want to be in a band ever again. And he's quite happy just, you know, recording and writing with bands and stuff. And that's just, you know, that's Seb. He's happy to do that. So when you were like, I want to join the band, for me, it's like, that was a fucking, you know, me head span around a bit. So, again, I think it was a no-brainer for the rest of the guys in the band, because obviously we had Josh and stuff as well, and you know, Josh was kind of like not a temporary member, but it was kind of like, it wasn't, nothing was set in stone, and there was nothing there. It was just like Seb suggested it, and it immediately felt like, right, that's Neck Deep then, like, because you've always been a part of the puzzle. It was just like, finally, you know, wanting to be a member was like that final kind of bit, really. And
I always got my fix from like writing and recording with other bands, so like I could feel like connected and like invested in the records I make. But when they're released, or you know, you send them off to school or whatever, like I don't have as much of like an emotional attachment to like how it does or whatever. But yeah, this album was a special one for me, and it would have really regretted it if like going to the shows and watching them play it and I couldn't play those songs as well. It would have hurt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The album is out today. Today, the day this podcast gets released is the day the album is out. So, yeah.
I was going to say, shit, is it?
Yeah. I thought it was Thursday!
Yeah, I think it's now. I mean, yeah, that's a bit of a scary thought.
It's exciting.
Yeah. I say it's,
you look excited.
Though. I don't know. It's a weird one, because like I am excited, but at the same time I'm pretty just like quietly confident. Like I know that this record's gonna be a good record, and I know fans are gonna love it. Like I think early on, especially, I was like, one of the things I've realized in the lockdown period and since we've been putting out music and stuff, I think when we first, or maybe actually since we finished the record, like I think when we were first like talking about the record and we were getting ready to go in and record it, I had this big thing of like, oh, it needs to be, you know, oh, it'd be sick if some of this could get on radio, and I want this to make us like a massive mainstream band. And I think like the more time's gone on, I've kind of gone like, I don't know if that's Neck Deep though, being like this, you know, mainstream band, and just coming to terms of like, as long as our fans love it, and as long as there is some semblance of success from it, like I'll be proud of this no matter what. So
like, just growth, just like, I think always like the biggest thing is just like, keep reaching more people.
Yeah.
Like is the biggest one, I guess.
Yeah. But I think as well, I've just learned that like, you know what, like it's not as, yeah, as long as we're proud of it, and as long as there is some growth there, then there's nothing to really worry about. Like, I know it's going to be successful, and I know that fans are going to love it. So I think now that I've taken that pressure off myself, that unnecessary pressure of like, this is going to be fucking number one in every country, and we've got to be the next fucking Blink or something. It's like, nah, it just doesn't bother me anymore. I think like, really, we're there to just like do our thing and just evolve as a band. Like, we don't need,
Just to rephrase what I said about like reaching more people. Maybe that was a bit broad. I think basically what you said, Ben, of just like connecting with people more, like not just like people hearing it or whatever, but our fans, like it connects with them. And if it can, you know, I guess it's like deep connection I always look for,
yeah,
or hope for.
And I feel it with the record, and I'm sure that fans will. So really, I'm quite chill about it. It's daunting because it's like, shit, you know, new record coming out. Fuck, this is kind of going to define the next few years of our band. But I've got no worries with it, really.
This was the easiest record to make, and I think the one that everyone is most happy and satisfied with.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think where we recorded it was like a huge factor in that, because we've recorded in like LA and done the whole circus before, and it's been fucking a bit of a nightmare, to be honest. Like the last record, Peace in the Panic, as much as, yeah, good record, like that was just such a pressure cooker. Like we were there picking fucking singles when we had three or four songs down, because we had just, you know, label pressure and whatever, like, yeah, we need to get these video shoots booked in.
It's on their home turf, so they were always about.
Yeah, they were always about, and there was always, and LA as well, because it's so fucking, you know, it's all just one kind of big circle jerk, really. It's kind of like so many fucking distractions, so many people going into the studio and wanting to listen to shit, and like as well, everyone's on a schedule there, so it's like from 9 to 7 is your time, and then from there going, yes, just it just wasn't a great environment to write in. And then just being a bit closer to home, everyone living together and living within the studio, I think like was just made the experience like so much better, like just, and we all just felt so much better. Like I was the least stressed. I definitely had my moments. I definitely had my, you know, where I was struggling with songs or whatever, and I was freaking out a bit. But for the most part, I wasn't booting off at people for going to Disneyland while I was sat in the apartment trying to write stuff. yeah, it was way easier this time around.
How dare you go on the Harry Potter ride while I'm trying to write lyrics?
Literally, it was like, what the fuck are you guys doing in the happiest place on earth, and I'm in fucking hell on earth sweating in an Airbnb while you're out just fucking having a good old time? Wonderful.
Oh, no way.
Oh, that's brilliant. How long did this record take to make?
Well, I don't know.
6 weeks. Well, I mean, we were in the studio. Yeah, we were in the studio for 6 weeks, but it's just, no.
About a year and a half, maybe, writing.
Yeah, I remember writing in October the year before, and we went out to LA March last year or something for like a couple of bits. Yeah, year and a half of writing, maybe.
Yeah, we went out to LA in March because we were like meeting producers and stuff, and that's how we met Squire, who ended up producing the record.
He was the first person we met.
Yeah, literally the first person we met, and within about half an hour we were like, right, he's doing the record then, should we cancel all these other meetings and just fucking dick about 2 weeks? So that's basically what happened. And so yeah, I guess LA is good for that, at least, you know, meeting people. But yeah, we shipped him out here for the record and took about 6 weeks. So all in all, quite a snappy record to make.
A weird like way we did it as well was like, I mixed the record in a bedroom while we were still like doing the record. So like, there'd be a song finished, and then I'd just take a hard drive and go to my room and mix it and start on another song. It was quite like, we nearly had the like record finished by the time we like left the studio. We had like test masters and shit. It was weird.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty much unheard of.
Yeah.
Breaking new ground, mate. Yeah, that's what it should be done.
I was gonna say before, like we were saying, like if we didn't have a record, like I don't know what we'd be doing, but like we're a pretty like a well-oiled machine as members, I guess. Like I've got the studio, it's like we've all got like home setups and stuff. We figured out how to like remote record. West is sick at videos and graphic design. Like I think we would have kept ourselves busy.
Yeah, we would have done something, but it's good to not have to fucking scramble for content.
Of course.
yeah, but we have been putting out a lot of content. I kind of hate that word, to be honest.
Yeah,
content.
Yeah, me too.
It kind of grates on me. It's like it's just like anything creative that you do, no matter what it is, just gets put under the umbrella of like content, and it's not art, music is content.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not art. It's not expression. It's not like something that you put your heart. It's just content. It's just for people. It's just like, it fucking annoys me.
Consume this.
Yeah, we have put out a lot of content recently.
Nice, but what's the all the reception I've seen for like She's a God and Fall and stuff has been awesome. Are you guys happy with it all so far?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I think when you get to the point that we're at, we've been a band like getting on 10 years now, and like, you know, we've gone through a big transformations. You're always going to get people who go, yeah, it's not you singing about a girl as a fucking 17-year-old. Nah, it's shit. Like, I saw one comment that was like, you've lost all emotion and raw passion, and the song's just like, fuck are you on about? How the fuck do you know what I'm passionate about, you fucking gimp? Shut up. It's like, I'm not passionate about my teenage heartbreak anymore doesn't mean that we've like completely changed for the worse, and that, you know, all the things that we're talking about now don't have any, you know, aren't full of, you know, passion or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, other than people just demanding exactly what they want to hear, the odd one, it's 99.9%. like positive.
But that's every band too. That's every band that like keeps pushing forward and doing what they want to do, and they're not going to please everyone.
And it's annoying though, because the shitty comments stand out more than others, and it's just like, you can have a million good ones, and then that one shitty comment, you're like, fuck off. It's kind of annoying, but overwhelmingly positive, and like a lot of people kind of echoing the same sort of sentiments that we kind of feel about it. Like, this is probably like people saying like, this is going to be, you know, the best, most in-depth, like most ambitious record that we've made, and just people really excited for the record, really. Fan response, and again, like, kind of going back to what I said earlier about like just kind of coming to terms with being the band that you are, and not necessarily like putting so much pressure on yourself. Like, one of the things I think that's helped me massively with that is just realizing how just like that our fans are more, the fans that we do have are more important than the fans we don't have, and the fans that we do have are more important than like the naysayers. And I think our fans, like, maybe it's because, you know, it's been locked down and everyone's attention has been there, and it's given people something to look forward to, but like, fan response has just been insane. Like, everything we've done, like, we've been peppering people with things. We've been streaming, putting out videos, fucking doing all sorts of stuff, and there's always people there who are like just stoked on everything we do and are always super supportive, and like that.
And we've got, it's cliche, but we've got to where we are because of people like that. And, you know, like, we've always felt like we've not had to fight for things, or like not had like all the support, because we have had a ton of support off a lot of people, but like it's always felt like us versus the world almost.
Yeah, we've always had a lot of people who are there to kind of who aren't on board, who are, you know, will for some reason find it necessary to fight to the death about why you're not a great band. And it's like, why are people arguing about what they do? I don't know. But like, we've always been fighting against that, and we've always kind of been pushing against that, and our fans have like always been there through that, and have always kind of been the proof of like, well, we can have not a whole lot of mainstream push and still play a show to 10,000 people, and still, you know, pack out a tent up against fucking Guns N' Roses. Yeah, it's it's, you know, is that realization, definitely, especially over lockdown, I think, just with how much everyone's been interacting, like how important fans are, and just how like grateful we are for them. Like, I would much rather, I think my focus was a little misplaced, I think, going into writing this record. And I think I've kind of realized and rediscovered what it is that's actually fucking important about being in a band. So, yeah, definitely fans play a huge part of that.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting to hear. One thing I wanted to mention as well, I mean, you've talked about it there, but seeing that really evolution of Neck Deep over the years, you know, this is your fourth record now, and so much has changed in your lives, in seeing everything since some of the early EPs. Is it, for you, is it great to see how far Neck Deep has actually come in terms of not only songwriting, but just being able to have that pop punk atmosphere that you have, but kind of step away from it a little bit as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think one of the, you know, we've been streaming on Twitch during lockdown, and that's been really sick. Like, that's another thing where, like, totally didn't expect that to be as sick as it has been. And it has, you know, a little community forming on there and that. But on there, we've been listening back to a bunch of our old stuff, done listening parties for our old stuff. And yeah, like, I'm still really proud of all of our old stuff, but it is super interesting to see that development, even from the inside, you know. It is kind of odd. And we listen back and you go, fuck, I maybe would have done that differently and blah, 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 and you evolve as songwriters. But one thing that I love and one thing that I think was like a cool takeaway from those listening parties is that when you get down to, all right, the sound might have changed a bit and we might be, you know, pushing a new sound and developing our sound. But the thing that makes us Neck Deep, whether that's an attitude, whether that's a mindset, whether that's, little sort of sonic threads that run through everything, it's all still there. Nothing's really changed in terms of like ambition and attitude from the start. It's always been the same. And I think that's something that we've definitely developed on this new record even, is like the thing that makes us Neck Deep, whatever that is, even I can't really put my finger on it. We've still managed to keep that very core kind of element without just totally changing as a band and alienating fans. Like, there is something about Neck Deep that just makes us Neck Deep, and that means that we don't really sound a lot like other bands. Like you say, we've still kind of got that root in pop punk, but we've managed to kind of be able to kind of expand in different directions. And
I think where some of that, like what you say, you can't put your finger on, is like, we just write the music that we want to write and we enjoy writing it. It's just genuine. You know what I mean? It's not like we're like really plotting and trying to figure out all these weird ways of like writing the best song and what's hot right now and what's not. And what's, you know what I mean? It's just, we just write music that we love, I think is part of the potion.
Well, that was one of the coolest things I think about this record. And I think that like set a really good precedent going into this record for everyone. Like, cause you know, we've said here, like the writing this record and recording this record was the easiest and most fun and most kind of like fulfilling writing and recording experience that we've had. And it's because we set a precedent early on of like, whatever happens, whatever we're writing, whatever we're feeling, whatever comes out, just go with it. You know, we didn't sit there going, no, don't want to write pop punk songs anymore. No pop punk. If we write a pop punk song, which we, you know, there are a few on the record, which I think people are, you know, like I was saying about the naysayers earlier, probably like fucking having their bit. I think when they hear the record, they're going to go, ah, shit. Yeah, maybe spoke to them.
Ah, got me. Fucking bastards. They got me back.
Yeah, exactly, man. And like, we didn't tell ourselves no to anything. If it felt good, if it sounded good, if it felt good, we'll go with it. Like, there's no point telling ourselves no. And I think that was just a sick precedent to like go into a record with. Cause like, I think.
And we had the thing of like, it's good to be scared almost. Like, we want to try and scare ourselves a little bit. We want to get out of the comfort zone. It was like, oh, and also like not holding back. I was listening to Sick Joke today, Ben, and like there's that line in the second verse. Well, it's out now, I guess, but like shoving my fingers to the back of my throat feels like
life is shoving its fingers to the back of my throat.
And you were like, is that too graphic? Is that too much? And I remember like, well, the moment you pull it back from that, it's like diluting it and like cheapening it almost. I think there's definitely some part to that on the record.
Yeah. And songs like Quarry as well.
A lot of honesty on this record. A lot of like, I don't know. I think a lot of honesty on this record and like,
well, yeah, like songs like Quarry was another one where I said like a bunch of times listening back to it, like this song makes me fucking sweat because I'm like, it just, I can't, it's super, super honest at points, to a point where I'm like, shit, is that giving too much of myself away? But also because it's something that we've never done before, it's a bit more sort of spoken word, almost rap than it is. It's not rapping. I wouldn't quite say it's rapping, don't worry. But like, that's the closest thing I could put it as. Like, it's a, sort of a spoken word thing. And we took an instrumental.
It's kind of like the streets. It kind of reminds me of like that kind of,
yeah,
like, quote unquote swagger to it, I guess.
Yeah. And that kind of like attitude towards it, where it's a guy who is seemingly an everyday kind of guy, like really getting quite deep on a subject. And the writing process for that as well, being like almost remixing, it was literally just slowing down the instrumental to another song and going, fuck, that sounds pretty cool, let's do something with that. So yeah, you know, you've got that even in that song where we're trying something new, we're scaring ourselves, we're putting something out there, we're being as honest as we possibly can, we're not diluting anything. And I'm just excited for people to hear that and experience that. And I think it is a record that, like, the more you listen to it, the more you pick out little bits of, like, little nuances that, you know, maybe you don't get on the first listen, but second, third, fourth time in, you're like, oh shit, that was fucking sick. And that's something that we've never had. I think all of our songs, generally, we've tried to just make face value, make them catchy, make them fast, make them impactful. Whereas this time we, like, focus way more on the nuance and kind of, like, the interesting parts more than, like, just trying to write catchy songs.
I think the fact that we can, like, talk a lot about the record and, like, passionately,
I will talk.
But I think that's, like, I think that's also, like, adds to, like, how much we love it, if you know what I mean. We're like, we can talk about it all day.
Yeah, but as a music thing, that's good to see, because, you know, I think that's what I want from bands, is that they're excited about a record and that they're making the music they want to, rather than just being like, yeah, you know, it's coming out now, it is what it is and stuff like that. You can see you're passionate about it, and you can see that there's kind of a different atmosphere on this record.
Yeah, it's not just another cycle. It's not just another, like, oh, keep us in business for another couple of years or whatever. It's, we invested everything into it, you know. There's more and more pressure, I guess, as every record goes by. So, like, we take it more and more seriously, I guess, maybe.
But going back, you mentioned pressure quite a bit there. Do you feel like in the past, Neck Deep have had that kind of pressure to really tick boxes about stuff now and again? I mean, with everything you've talked about, you seem that there's a more free atmosphere on this record. Why is that?
I get you, definitely. Like, I think there's a level of expectation when it comes to Neck Deep, and I think there's a level of anticipation, whether you're a fan of the band or whether you either don't like the band or you never heard the band, really. There's a level of expectation for it, and we've definitely always kind of felt that sort of that pressure as we've been going. And yeah, definitely, I think, you know, people have given us, you know, all these various kind of accolades or whatever you want to call them, of like, oh, you know, fucking amazing pop punk band, best UK pop punk band, blah 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 blah. And so yeah, there's always been an element of like, we should maybe play into that a bit. And I think that's where it changed on this record. I think with The Peace and the Panic, like I said, like, you know, being in a pressure cooker, the writing experience was pretty intense. And also the kind of like, the expectation was there too, because we were following up a record with Life's Not Out to Get You that people fucking absolutely love and adore. So I think this time round, following up The Peace and the Panic just allowed us, it opened doors for us to kind of be whoever we wanted to be. And that's what we said, like, about that record. I think the big takeaway from that record was like, we were quite free to do whatever we wanted then, really, after that. And that's kind of manifested in this now, where we have written a record that I think people haven't necessarily expected what they've heard. And we've written quite a diverse record, but managed to tie it all together well. And there's like a thread going through it, rather than just like being this collection of songs that's kind of like, oh, you've got one song that's got fucking Sam Carter on it, but then you've got another song which sounds like it could be a Boyzone track or something. It's like, there's more to it than that now. There's a thread that runs through it. And I think just like personal growth and just development and just like not, I think any pressure that was there, a lot of it was probably placed on us by ourselves. Like, I think there were people, you know, that expect a certain something from Neck Deep, but I think we feel it the most and then end up chasing our tails with it. Whereas this time around, again, I think just early on set the precedent of like, we can fucking just do whatever. Let's just do whatever feels right.
We wouldn't have been able to have all distortions wouldn't exist or like sound how it does or be the same record without The Peace and the Panic. I know that like might sound obvious, but it was, I felt like The Peace and the Panic was experimenting a little bit and like trying new things, like I think we could write Life's Not Out to Get You again in terms of like, if you just want to like straight out pop punk bangers, I guess, if whatever you want to call it, that kind of thing. And we're just like, we don't want to do that. Like, we don't want to like compete with ourselves and do this and that. But All Distortions wouldn't be the same without The Peace and the Panic. It like, even just kind of like teased to people, like, we're, you know, this is a new sort of flavoring, I guess, but it also helped us like refine the writing and also just refine our vision of like where we see ourselves going.
How many songs did you have going into the recording of All Distortions?
We had a fucking lot of demos.
Yeah, a
lot of demos. Not full songs, but we had a lot.
Yeah, I'd say like 20, 30 songs, maybe. Yeah. Like ideas, not necessarily full songs. The song that we put out today, again, this is going to fuck up the matrix of when this is released and when it's recorded. I Revolve, like, we had that for fucking ages. That song we had when we went and did She's a God, we recorded that too, just because we had time. So we already had that in the bank. And then I'd say most of the songs on the record we had probably for like 6 months going into it. And then when we were in the studio, I think we wrote Pushing Daisies.
Well, that was all. Pushing Daisies was like...
And what took you so
probably
long?
Probably 60%
there. What the fuck am I on about? Pushing Daisies was a song that you had fucking years, that you wrote for Laura years ago. But it sounded quite a bit different, but it was a demo that you'd had for years, but we like it came together in the studio and I wrote all the vocals.
This was definitely the most prepared we'd ever been going into a record, I feel, with like just pre-production and demos, and kind of knew what we were doing, but still left enough room for ourselves to be like, well, if Squire wants to change something, or, you know, we're totally open to whatever, really. Squire was a key piece of that puzzle too. He was great. Like we say, within half an hour of meeting him, it was like, this is the guy. Like, spending 6 weeks in a remote studio in the middle of nowhere with someone, and yeah, based on our like first meeting with him, and then he came over to do She's a God too, again as another little like, well, let's see how we actually work in the studio. But he was just so happy all the time, and like,
there were so many times where I would have thought anyone else right now would be a bit broken and a bit lost, especially with like an American coming over to fucking Monmouthshire. Like, obviously being from South Wales, you guys probably know well enough that Monmouthshire is like not exactly, you know, the most riveting place in the UK.
It's mainly green. It's just mainly green. Another good kind. Another good kind. Just trees and grass and sheep. A lot of sheep as well.
Plenty of sheep. Plenty of floods as well, we found. We got to the week before we were in the studio, it flooded.
We're good like that.
Yeah, lots of haunting shit as well, because the studio we were in was supposedly a bit haunted. We had a few weird experiences in there. And then we got into just like looking at a haunted thing, and we found out apparently Monmouthshire is one of the most haunted places in the UK. So there you go.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Nice.
Which makes sense, because there's plenty of old shit there. Everything's very old. but for an American coming over as well, to experience that and not be like, fucking hell, I want to go to Chipotle and a Starbucks, and to just like actually get on with it, was pretty chill. Yeah,
you could take him somewhere and show him like a real castle and go, look, this one's not made out of plastic and pink. We've actually got castles over here. Look at this.
Churches, the real churches,
where the history comes from.
Yeah, he loved it, man. He had his kids come over for a bit. His kids came over with his wife for like a week, and they like went around the UK and did a few bits and bobs, and I think that definitely helped him. And I think
also just like culturally too, like coming over and hanging out with like eight other lads there, like British lads, who's like
sense of humor
and everything.
Yeah, and we're all a bit younger than him and all that sort of shit, but like, he handled it like a fucking absolute champ. Like, was just, yeah, like Seb said, just like the happiest dude all the time, total workhorse as well. And like, again, he was a big part for me, like, because I can fucking beat myself up good, like when we were doing records, like if I am taking a minute to write a song, I'm the first one to just start fucking beating myself up, and I'd go down and be like, yeah, I'm really struggling with this song, guys, blah blah blah. I literally just go, it doesn't matter, it's fine. Even if you don't write it, it's all good. No worries. There's plenty of workarounds for it. We'll just crack on. We've got plenty of other stuff to do. Don't stress. Go make some food. Go chill out. Go fucking smoke. Right. Do whatever you want. And I was like, okay, cool. So yeah, him just taking that pressure off was, he was definitely a key factor in the whole thing for sure.
Yeah, it's good to hear when producers, kind of get the best out of people, and they don't have to be like, you got to do it now. You got to fucking finish this vocal today. Man. It's so much better to be like, look, let's try it.
We met one producer. I'm not going to say his name, but he was insane.
Fucking mental. It was weird, man. It was really fucking weird. We had to like leave his house kind of out of nowhere and kind of like sneak away from some of the crazy.
Run, boys. Run very fast. Run.
Pretty much. It was like silently calling Ubers. We were like looking over like, call the fucking Uber. Get that fucking Uber going now. Tell him to wait outside. Get that fucking engine running and let's just go. And
wow.
And we just had to fucking boost, man.
Yeah. Well, What were the red flags? What were the red flags for the person?
Well, first off,
he
made a fucking cup of tea in the microwave for a start. That was the fucking weird. That was the worst.
Fuck me.
Oh, one of them.
Set fire to his house.
That was a big strike.
Because he was like, oh, you know, I've got British.
Don't reveal too much because I don't want people working out who he is.
Yeah. In a coded way, he was like, you know, got some. He was telling us about his family, and it's a bit. So he was like, I'll make you a cup of tea. I'll make you the best cup of tea you've ever had. And I was like, mate, get that out of the fucking microwave. Stop putting a tap water on a fucking tea bag for a start.
What? Oh, no.
Yeah, he literally, what he did, he fucking put the tea bag in the cup, went to the tap, put cold water on the tea bag, chucked it in the microwave, and then
microwave.
Yeah, it was horrible, man. And then, but yeah, like Seb said, he was just bragging so much.
I'm talking
just,
like, so much shit about other bands he's worked with and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like, as well, his wife coming in and being like, he's going to work you to the bone. He's going to make you want to quit and make you want to fucking kill each other. I'm like, why the fuck would I want that?
Like, yes!
He's there trying to big him up. And it's like, no, that's the last thing I want. I don't want to kill my fucking brother. I'm fine. Like, I like a chill fucking environment when I'm trying to work. I don't want someone to scream at me, like, fucking hell.
I tell you what though, those tour diaries would have been very interesting if that had happened.
Fucking hell. I don't think we'd have a fucking album to show.
No, we literally said that. I think Sam said, like, when we left the house, he's like, I swear to God, if we did a record with that guy, it would be one of those records where you'd announce you're doing it, and then a year later you'd be like, sorry guys, the record's not coming out. It's just like, it's...
Yeah. It'd be some kind of monster version 2. It'd be some kind of monster 2.0. It fucking would have been. It just would have killed me. Would have absolutely killed me.
Insane. Absolutely insane. So one thing I wanted to bring up, and Ben, we talked about this and really dived into the history last time you came on the podcast, but with the whole Fuck Neck Deep, Ben's dad owns a record label movement. So two things I want to mention with this is, Seb, have you had to put up with this? And B, Ben, do you think you should bring something else into the band now, just so Seb's got to put up with all something to put up with now he's in the band?
I mean, I think Seb might have even fucking brought it to light in the first place. Seb's a pro lurker. Seb, you had it in your bio for a bit, just lurker. Seb ran our social medias for a lot quite a while, and so he would see all these fucking stupid comments and would be like, look at this. And he was the one who brought it to light, like, look at this ridiculous shit. It was that. And then from there, I think, did you do the original one, Seb? The original Fuck Neck Deep?
I threw it on the end of a demo. I think we must have been like writing that song or something, like when we saw it, and I just like, I didn't even do it into a mic, I think. I think I just did it dead quick into like my iMac, like said it just dead annoyed, I think, and taking the piss. But then you redid it for the record and it sounded exactly the same as how I did it. And I was like, is that still my demo one? You're like, no, that's me. And that was pretty wild.
But in terms of getting a new one in, I don't know. I don't know what the most recent, like, actually, I do know what one of the most recent, like, crazy fucking things that people have said. But I actually think the person that said it is maybe a bit mentally unwell. So I don't know if it's the right thing to be like, look how crazy. But basically claimed that I was the son of Elton John and Princess Diana. And that my real name is Pat.
He's a fucking next. Oh, I love a good rumor about band members. This is fucking. Of course, now I see it. You look exactly like
Elton John, don't I?
Half and half.
I had some fucking shades up here somewhere. Yeah.
Morgan, you're gonna have to get a screen cap of this.
Oh, like, we love conspiracy theories on this, but I mean, that's next level.
Yeah, Rocket Man. These are actually my girlfriend's prescription. They're making me feel a bit sick, but they're not quite the most Elton I can get. But you can see the resemblance, clearly.
Yeah. So are you going to try and get back into the royal family somehow then?
Now that fucking Harry's, or Will, whichever one, he's fucked off, I reckon the door's back open for me, to be honest.
Pat.
Yeah, again, a cushy little allowance in a fucking country home somewhere. I'll take it. Fuck Neck Deep, mate. Fuck. There you go. That's a new one. Fuck Neck Deep, mate. Ben's dad's Elton John. Well, fuck Neck Deep, then, mate. Ben's down in Balmoral. I don't know.
I like fuck Neck Deep though, because that's always like summed up the ethos for me of like we don't take ourselves serious. Like we take what we do seriously, but like I've always seen it as like we're no different than fans. Like we're just the same as you. We're like there's no weird artist fan barrier kind of difference. We're idiots, as I'm sure you can be idiots too.
Yeah, and it's like as well, like if you can't laugh at yourself, people are just going to laugh even louder at you. People are just going to laugh even harder, and they're going to and it's kind of like I think people that take themselves too seriously open themselves up to way more sort of criticism, especially these days. You know what I mean? It's like people can get fucking torn apart for taking themselves a little bit too seriously. Whereas all the people, look at fucking Lewis Capaldi, man. Like that guy literally does not take himself seriously at all, and he's like, you know, one of the most loved kind of musicians in the world at the minute, and fucking rightly so.
That's almost like half of, that's like a big part of who he is.
Yeah, for sure. And like I think it's a big part of who we are as well, the fact that like
I think fans see that
we are
too.
Kind of I think that we are approachable and that we are kind of like, we're not super serious. We're not going to fucking bite people's heads off over fucking, you know, some petty shit. Like we really don't care. And, you know, the attitude has very much always been like, well, you know, if you ain't with us, then fucking just find another band to listen to, whatever. But if you do like us, sick, let's laugh at this stupid meme of me. That's one that stuck with us as well around about the same time as the Fuck Neck Deep thing, was a meme of me. It looked like I was crying hysterically, but it was actually talking about me going into Seb's room and fucking doing stupid things for Sigs. I ate a Scotch Bonnet chili whole and just cried my fucking eyes out and shat hot fire for 3 days for about 4 Sigs.
Nah, I think that was a tenner. That was a tenner. That was a little bit more
than a tenner. Oh, right. Okay. So I could have bought my own Sigs then at that point. That's a good deal, to be fair.
Yeah, it's full pack. It's full pack. It's got to be worth the ruining of the arse for that.
Yeah, definitely, man. So that was a good meme that stuck with us for a while. But, you know, I'm happy to laugh at myself. I don't care. It's, yeah, whatever.
It's the way, man. It's the way. Like, people can see through people who take themselves too seriously. It's just daft. It's like the Fuck Neck Deep. Like, when I was in the Blackout, we replaced Sum 41 at Download, and we had a giant backdrop that said, Fuck the Blackout. Just because we knew that everyone there who'd come to see Sum 41 was going to be fucking tamping. And so we had, as we came on, we had two 16-foot inflatable hands came up and do that as well. Either side of the stage.
Nice. Might pinch that off you. I was going to say we might pinch that one off you. We recently ventured into the world of large inflatable stage props. So we've got a guy now, so we can make that happen.
Ooh, that guy.
What we did was we had to rent two hands that did that, and then we had to tie down all the other fingers.
Like so we'd like slowly. Like on Phoenix Nights when they get Sammy Snake, the bouncy gavel, and they have to tie down the massive chop.
At any point, all fingers could have just. Yeah. Oh, it's the black. Oh, yeah, fuck the blackout. Here's some hands. Well, that doesn't make sense at all. This doesn't mean. But yeah, something I wanted to mention is. Yeah, you guys did a tour with, very briefly, I guess, with the Blink-182 and Little Wayne, full title. I'm not short now, Little Wayne. How was Little Wayne? How was that scenario?
It was interesting. Interesting. Seeing how the rap world operates is fucking mental. Like his crew and everything were sound. We saw way more of his crew than we ever saw of him. He would literally rock up 10 minutes before a show, if that. Sometimes he would rock up while his fucking band were like warming the crowd up. He'd go on stage, he wouldn't even play the first half of his set was literally just his band playing his songs, and he'd turn up for half an hour, do a few bits, and then fuck off again, and that was it, really. And there was no and some days he just wouldn't turn up. Which, nah, fucking not about it this time. Just not going to turn up. And
imagine
so we were happy. But It was it was a bit weird. All his boys were cool. He had a lot of assistants. A lot of assistants who we one of the early first few shows we were sat with some of his crew and we were just like, having a smoke or whatever and we were just like, oh, so what you do for Wayne? Like, assistant, like I've known him for years, I've known him since I was like a teenager, so like I'm an assistant. All right, cool, sweet man, what'd you do? I'm an assistant. Oh, would you? So they're basically just his boys that he just paid to be on the road with him. And there was one of his boys, I can't remember his name, he was a good lad though, and every day before the show he would sit in the sprinter van that they had, roll a massive fucking blunt. Soon as Wayne turned up, he'd literally spark it up for him, passing the blunt. Wayne would walk on stage with it, and then he would just stand side stage with a little tray, a lighter and a bottle of water, and just be like, if you want the spliff on it. It basically had a split tech. So you know, something to aspire to.
I'm going to put this out there now on this podcast, because if you don't put it out there, if there's any rappers listening to this, and number one, why are you listening to this? Number two, if you need somebody to roll joints for you, I am available. Take me on tour. That is my new calling in life.
LinkedIn on the go, joint roller.
I saw Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg employs a guy who rolls joints for him for 40 grand a year.
Fuck off. Fucking hell.
Sold to me.
You got some fucking competition there. I'm going to be applying for that job. Jesus.
Fuck, man. Free weed and all the luxuries you want. Let's go.
Yeah. Literally. Or like the lifestyle with it. Jesus.
Yeah, my friend did security and driving for Snoop once, and he was saying that every morning he would wake up, and when he'd go to the driver's seat, there would be like an ounce of weed just there for him, for my friend. And he was saying when they were over here, they went to Microsoft, and Microsoft was like, oh, you can have whatever you want. So Snoop was having like loads of Xboxes, loads of games, whatever. And then when they were finished, he went, oh, yeah, and everything I love, Phil will have as well. And they just give it to him. And I was like, I've got to get a job for Snoop. So that's the dream now. That's what I'm aiming for now.
Mate, we got given a fucking PlayStation once by Taco Bell. They gave us all PlayStations out of nowhere. And that was sick. But fucking hell, I couldn't even muster myself to be like, I hate asking for free shit. Like, I feel like such a fucking cheeky bastard being like, go on, can you sort us out with anything? Snoop literally was like, right, you're not only are you giving me thousands of pounds worth of free shit, but you're literally giving my boy here, who's of no relevance to you, but you're going to sort him out. That kind of swagger and confidence just comes with being a rapper. Probably just having a massive knob and not giving a fuck to anyone. Just being like huge bollocks, just massive balls that just can just say whatever he wants and just, yeah. Because he's Snoop, he can just say. It was kind of like that with Wayne, though. You felt like he could just do whatever the fuck he wants, really. It was one of them. I think the only dude that bollocked him, or like even kind of give him a bit of what for being late for a show or something, was this absolute legend. He worked for Blink, and he was from St. Helens, but he's fucking toured with Queen and all sorts. He's lived in America for like 40 years, and we used to fucking wind him up calling him Chris from the Wirral, because there's a running joke in our band that the Wirral is shit, and we always say that West's from the Wirral, just even though he's definitely not. It's just like, it's the Wirral and Norwich are two places where we're like, ugh, you from fucking Norwich, ugh, you from the Wirral, West from the Wirral. But Chris from the Wirral, one time, got right in fucking Wayne's face and was like, what the fuck are you playing at? In what fucking time did you call this? Blah, 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 blah. Wayne literally just ignored him like he wasn't even there, but he was still like, fucking hell, bollocks on Chris there, Jesus. So, yeah, if it was Snoop, I imagine it's very much the same thing. Can't really tell him fucking anything, really.
Who does he report to? Like, what happened? Like, if Lil Wayne doesn't turn up to gigs, is that's it? Like, he just doesn't get paid and he's fine with it. Like,
he had a TM and he had his manager out on a couple of shows and that, but it was very much just sort of like, they were just like, yeah, Wayne's not turning up today. Deal with it, basically. And
sure, I can't work out if his job as tour manager is the best or worst job ever, because it's either brilliant because you go, yeah, he might fucking turn up, I don't even care, I haven't even filled in a day sheet, I don't even bother anymore, or you're constantly shitting yourself going, oh, is he gonna come, I've got to explain to people he's not gonna come.
I think his TM was quite a G as well, so I think he was just like, what, fucking who cares. But yeah, he had pretty tight security as well. We weren't really allowed to, like, it was quite early on. It was like, just don't. Blink were total opposite. Blink were like, oh, I'm going to give a fuck, whatever. Come and knock on our doors whenever you want. Come and fucking thingy. But with Wayne, it was very much like, don't fucking bother him.
I think Danny said he said hi to him once, and that was literally the only interaction anyone had with him.
Well, Sumter, our fucking merch guy, was walking out the shower one day with his little fucking, you know, his little fucking Hackett fucking shower gel bag or whatever that he got for Christmas, and a little towel and that. And he suddenly found himself merging with Wayne's crew and Wayne as they were coming off stage. And he said he was just like in the middle of Wayne's crew, like this big white guy in the middle of like all these dudes, like these absolute G's walking along. And he was just there with a towel wrapped around him, like, oh my God. He said he got a little nod off him though, and that was about it. So,
unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
I love hearing people in bands' interactions with rappers. It's fucking brilliant. Because none of us, we all look at rappers, and for some reason they seem to be on a different level to us.
They are, man. Rappers are the new rock stars, man. It's like, rappers just can just do whatever the fuck they want, and nobody seems to give a shit, really. The second a rock star, like an actual dude in a band, farts, everyone's like, fucking hell, fucking outrage and whatever. So, you know, whatever, it doesn't bother me. I didn't get into it to be a fucking to be a rock star, but it's still just like some of the shit that rappers get away with, man. It's fucking mental. And the way that they just the way they live as well, you look at them and you just go, yeah, you've got more money than I will ever fucking than I could ever comprehend, and just whatever. It's weird. It's definitely different worlds in terms of like touring and that, for sure.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we won't keep you too long now, because you need to go and celebrate the release of the record and everything. But very quickly, Seb, really, if you could give us a little bit of a download of some of the bands you've worked with as a producer, because, you know, some of the list includes, like, Waster, As It Is, Rome. I mean, could you really talk to us about that side of producing and now changing that into becoming producing and songwriting for other bands as well?
I say it's all the same, really. Like, the good secret sauce shit always goes to ND whenever I'm writing. But it's all just friends and like that I've made through the band. And like I feel like the biggest thing that I take away from like production is just making friends with people. Like the people that, it's the thing of like being genuine about what you do and giving a shit about what you do and like being stoked to work with people. And like, it's the same with a band being genuine. People see that and they want to keep coming back to work with you because you genuinely give a shit. But yeah, I treat all bands I work with the same, pretty much. I give every band I work with, like, sounds like a fucking ad, I know, but like I give them all the same amount of like attention and dedication to whatever it is. So it doesn't matter if it's a band with 100 monthly Spotify or someone like ND where it's fucking however many monthly listeners. It's like my ethos on it all is just like it all reflects on me too, you know. So like there's a bit of me in all everything that I work on somewhere. It's got my fingerprint, so I want it to do well, so I'm always going to give it like 100%.
I think of you, Seb, as well. One of the main things, and you know, I talked to Mum about this because Mum's obviously like, "Oh, isn't he wonderful?" And you know, all this, and it is. It surprises me how much of a, because obviously you're a brother. I know you're, you know, better than 99% of people. Like, I know that you can be quite a quiet, chill guy and not necessarily even want to, you know, be out and be a social. You're not a social butterfly by any means. But then when you're in the studio with bands, you can be with a band that you've never met before and make them feel totally and utterly comfortable. And you know, even if it's a case of like breaking the ice a bit and being like, look at this stupid meme I found, look at this stupid YouTube video I found, like, let's, you know, just kind of warm up into it. And I think you get to know the people in the band whilst also recording them, and I think that kind of reflects well on you. And I think that's why bands want to work with you as well, because I think they come in knowing that they're going to get a good end result out of it all. But I think a lot of bands too end up coming back because they just end up having a good time and comfortable working with you.
It's always a fine balance between like making a great record and doing whatever it takes to make that great record, whether or not that makes people happy or not, but still trying to make everyone happy and like feel like everyone in the band had a part of that record and was like involved in some way. And like you say, like being like not really a social butterfly, I think because I'm like a bit weird around people or a bit anxious or whatever, I can only imagine for them like how weird it, like being so vulnerable and like with your music and especially vocalists and stuff, how vulnerable it is to like come into the lion's den almost. So like I try and set it down early that like I'm a fucking weirdo normal loser, like don't be intimidated at all. It's all chill. There's no good and no bad, no right and no wrong.
Is there, as a producer, is there a misconception you get a lot that kind of people or bands don't really know of?
I think the term producer has been blurred over like the last 10-15 years because of technology and stuff. So like a producer 10-15-20 years ago was like just the kind of overseer almost, like I say, like a Rick Rubin or somewhere like that, where they don't touch shit. They're just there kind of guiding it and having their input. Whereas now it's like producers kind of have to like be firing on all cylinders and be like sharp on everything. So like the expectation from bands is like, I think they do like expect quite a bit, you know what I mean? Even if it's just like mixing or whatever, like if you're a producer, you've got to be able to mix, master if you want, you've got to be good at, I say got to, this is all just my opinion, but like be good at writing, like people skills, like editing, you know what I mean? Like on these huge records 20 years ago, it was like you'd have an editor and an assistant and an engineer and a drum tech and a this and a that. Like you've got to be all that now. And I think bands do know that. But misconceptions, like maybe, like I don't use any outboard gear. Like I have like an interface and like I have a Kemper and some other bits and bobs, but like everything I do is like plugins and in the box. Like I've mixed EPs on headphones and laptops, I've mixed it like wherever, whenever. So like maybe, like because I've been doing this 10 years, people are coming around to it more, but just like you don't need crazy gear and a crazy studio and all this stuff to make like a great sounding record. Like okay, like with All Distortions, we recorded it in a fucking £1 million studio or whatever with all this crazy gear, but like I mixed it in a bedroom, like it's on a computer and a set of monitors. That was it.
Do you think you'll do any more producing for other people now, or are you just concentrating on Neck Deep?
No, for sure. Like Neck Deep is number one. Like touring, all that shit. Like it's my priority. But when we're home, I still want to be working. Like I've yet to discuss properly with my girlfriend because we have like it didn't fucking happen because I'm home now. But I'll probably more than likely want to spend some time at home with my girlfriend and just chilling and unwinding. But I know after a week I'll just be itching to fucking get back in the studio. So yeah, if you're listening, hit me up, baby.
Well, I was just about to say, are you taking submissions and stuff? Because if you are, drop let the people know an email address they can submit stuff
to. Yeah, for sure. Oh, sweet. Yes, sebbarlow.com, all on there.
Nice.
Yeah, booking all my portfolio and shit. Yeah, hit me up.
Ben, have you got anything you want to sell us non-neck deep?
Nah, I'm a fucking piece of shit, man. I don't do fucking anything. Nah, not really. Listen to Neck Deep. Other than that, maybe you might see me on Twitch, maybe have some head-to-head on FIFA. That's about it. Other than that. Or maybe actually, something I'm sort of involved with, check out Lover's Tattoo Studio. That's a tattoo studio that me and, West is a co-owner along with like the main tattooer there, but, I've been involved from its early inception and, yeah, we make some merch and some t-shirts every now and again. But if you're from the Northwest or from anywhere really, and you're listening and you want a new tattoo, Lover's Tattoo in Chester in Northwest England, check it out.
Awesome.
But otherwise nice. It's all ND.
And with all that now as well, is there anything else we can expect from Neck Deep? I mean, what's the plan going forward?
Hopefully get on the fucking road sooner rather than later. We have got dates for September, December, through to December in the UK and the US. We've kept those dates in the hope that some fucking divine miracle happens. Either, you know, some kind of higher being comes and just strikes us all down and ends all this misery, or science prevails and we get a fucking you know, a nice little vaccine.
Option B, please.
So Yeah, option B would be nice, but, you know, I would maybe take a giant fucking alien coming out of the sky as my
We are due a giant UFO. We are due one. Bring it on.
We fucking are, aren't we? Come on, man. Let's fucking go.
Tom DeLonge just waiting. Tom DeLonge's there, just looking at the sky every night.
I know. Come on, Tom, man. Pull through. Pull through. Prove the doubt is wrong. The truth is out there.
He kind of did the start this year, didn't he? They put those videos out and they're like, yeah, they're real. And I was like, fucking go on, Tom. I saw those 6 months ago or something.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Like, yeah, the beginning of this pandemic, people were so like, oh, fucking hell, it's a virus, there's a virus. The US government went, oh, UFOs exist. UFOs exist, by the way. And then just walked away. Whoa! And everyone went, what? Oh, pandemic? And he's like, no, UFOs exist.
we've got those dates. I'm sure.
Content. More content.
We'll have more concrete sort of information about that sort of stuff. Because, I mean, to be honest, it's not looking fucking likely, is it? But we've got them locked in and we're just hoping that we can do that. But if not, just loads of content and loads of just good shit for people to like and subscribe and all that good shit.
Nice. Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you so much for doing this, boys. It's been a fucking real treat.
Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it's always a good time. Thanks for having us again. Much better this time, if I will add. You've got a lot better.
Yes.
Yes, because we're not in person. That's why you can't fucking see us.
I think it's because West's not here. I think he fucking moved it. I'm joking.
I didn't want to say anything, but you've said it. So
Well, thanks so much, guys. Best luck now with the record and everything, and we'll catch you soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Take it easy.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having us. You're
listening to Sapin Podcast! Quality. That was excellent.
Yes. Love that. Love Neck Deep. Love the new music. Lovely.
Yes. Very much enjoyed speaking to Ben and Seb. Great catch-up. Lovely boys. Super interesting to hear about producers and how they work and stuff as well. I love that. I love the chats that we have with bands where I find out new stuff and how different people work. It's just super interesting to me, and I hope it's interesting to the listeners. Because if it's not, sorry.
But no, it's a different insight, isn't it? And like for me, like I love like just the stories that come out of like one producer was a bit crazy and they all have to get Ubers to get out of it. And as you could hear, I was deeply offended when whoever this was made a cup of tea in a microwave. And
sick
to that,
bastards.
I tell you that me and Sean will find you, we will interview you, and we will ask you why this happened.
That is awful. Like, why would you... I think he must have been doing it as a joke to wind him up, man.
Maybe.
You can't say to a British person, oh, I'll make you the best cup of tea you've ever had now, and then fucking put it in a microwave, like. Surely. Yeah. You cannot do it. I wouldn't be surprised if that's illegal. That's mental.
I think it is. If any police are listening to this, let us know years you get charged for that.
Yeah. If Sting, Stuart Copeland, or the other fella are listening to this,
do you think
people can be jailed for microwaving tea? Anyway, yeah, All Distortions Are Intentional is out now. Go and check it out. I've listened to a couple of the singles so far, and it's belting. I very, very much enjoyed the song Fall lately.
Yeah, you've been saying, yeah, really enjoying all the tracks on the record, and they got loads of different kind of vinyls available as well. There's loads of mad colour schemes to this record, so go and check it out on Neck Deep's website or your local record store's website, because I don't know wherever you listen to this, you might be allowed to go into a record store, you might not be able to, but the internet exists, and that's probably safer.
Yeah, definitely wear a mask, or don't if you're a pussy. That's all I can say on that. Thanks again to Ben and Seb for coming on. Let's hope we get to do a Neck Deep 3 Neck Deepest. For that, we're going to need Ben and I'd like Danny on.
Yes.
And then we'll get real deep. We get Neck Deepest, I reckon.
But the third, so in the trilogy, the third film is always the weirdest because, like, Back to the Future 3, they're cowboys.
Fuck that film.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 isn't the best of the series.
Of course it's not. Secret of the Ooze is number two.
Yeah. You know,
Terminator 3 wasn't very good. Yeah, so what you're saying is, let's not do a third one with Neck Deep.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, how weird can we make it? That's what I'm trying to...
Oh, come on now. You looked me in the eye when you said that via camera. How weird could we make it? Yeah, well, I'll just turn up in the buff, won't I? I'll turn up in the buff.
Oh.
It starts with that, and people, and they're going to be like, oh, I can't even look, Sean. Oh, that's going to be dreadful. And then it'll be weird from there out, won't it?
Nice. Well, we've got that sorted. So, Danny, if you're listening, we're looking forward to speak to you soon. Oh, and also keep an eye on those tour dates, because Neck Deep are supposed to be touring in the UK and US the end of 2020. But with everything going on, obviously, that might change. So keep up to date with everything on their social media pages. And while we're speaking of social media pages, obviously, go to one of the best accounts ever on Twitter and Instagram, at SapninPod, and give it a cheeky little follow.
At Sapling Pod, one of the best accounts on Instagram and Twitter. Is it?
Maybe. They should find out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, definitely follow us at Sapling Pod, at SAPPENINPOD on Instagram and the Twitter. What else was there, Morg?
Is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to mention?
I'm in a band called Raiders.
Yes, you are. Raiders Band UK.
Yes, Raiders Band UK on everything. We have just had four songs back that are mixed, which are fan-bloody-tastic. So if anybody's interested, we will hopefully, maybe, possibly releasing one of them quite soon. So give at Raiders Band UK a follow on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Bumble, Grindr, Tinder, Field. I'm trying to think of other ones. I don't know if is there any other ones. Fabswingers.com. Yeah, anyway, never mind. Anyway. yeah. So this has been episode 87.
It has.
I can't believe we got to 87. That's bonkers, isn't it?
It's always bonkers.
But yeah, one of the reasons we've managed to get to 87 is because of the absolutely beautiful, beautiful souls of our Patreon community.
Yes, that so is
without,
correct.
Without those guys, we definitely wouldn't have been able to have done this. We definitely wouldn't be able to have kept this up, and I might have been dead by now. So thank you so much for keeping me alive. Yeah, we've literally made a community of some of the greatest humans who have ever lived. So thank you very much to everybody who's become part of our Patreon. You can do it for as little amount of money as you possibly want. Every little helps to use a trademark by a supermarket. So yeah, check out patreon.com/sapnin. That's patreon.com/SAPPENIN. Join our community today.
Yes, today we need to say a massive thank you to everyone in there. We love them very, very much. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names we need to thank. But of course, Sean is going to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our community. They've probably changed their name to something weird. I have no idea, but we're going to find out together.
Yeah, yes we are. Thank you very much to the absolutely lovely Dana Lasnova, Mayumi Liwaway, Kylie Wheeler, Mitch Perry, Amy Chilvers, Emma Barber, Lee Keebum, Armadine Urbano, Drew P. Wiener, Nathan Croshaw, Willie Fisterbottom. Oh, here we go. Waco Jan Tanke Dances with a Wolf. Dances with Eyebrows. I'm bound to have pronounced that wrong. Dan Gleeballs, Liam Connolly, Anita Barth, Michael Engler, Tom Owen, Drew Styles, the Maxin Dancing Champion Campion, Ivana Tinkle, Justin Harris. I'm trying to work out how they're all rude. Mike Huntis Wetty.
Oh.
Thank you, Oliver Amesbury, whose name is Michael Huntis Wetty. Simon Amos, Kate Stevenson, Pat Hiscock, Lucy Dead, Seymour Butts, Erin Howard, Becky Andy, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Hoof Arded, Marcy Jacobson, Louis Cook, Kieran Lewis, Sarah Stewart, Sandra Kuacek, Jamie O'Jamie, Mike Cunningham, Morgan's head fly was buzzing about his shout out last week, Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Isaac Cox. Nobody take that bit out and just use that bit. Kelly Cannon, Tallulah Grant, Stuart McNaught, Samuel Griffiths, Amy Thomas, Sharif Awadali, Jenny Robertson, Tony Michael, Lydia Henderson, Nuala Clark, ASAP Snickers, Amanda Huggenkiss, and Shania West, the presidential race dropout. Thank you very much to absolutely every single one of those nutters and everybody who's involved with our Sapling Patreon community. You're all amazing. Every week you do something that blows my mind and makes me super, super proud to be involved with that group, let alone be involved in the starting of that group. Unbelievable. Thank you so, so much. It genuinely, it means the world to me. Like, even if all the other listeners to this podcast stop listening to this, please don't. In brackets, please don't. But if we only had those people, that would be, I would be absolutely proud. So thank you so, so much for being involved. Sorry I got a bit emo then. Very emo.
Hey, Sean, this whole podcast, everyone we've done has been emo. That's what we are. But we're kind of like proud parents, aren't we? I mean, I love seeing everything, everyone get involved with each other. And yeah, it's just literally brings a smile to our faces each and every day. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts, everyone involved in the Patreon community. We love you very, very much. And thank you to anyone who's been listening to this podcast. Make sure to click the subscribe button. Whatever platform you do, it all helps, and share it with your friends, put in your Instagram stories, and go back and just listen to previous episodes. If you want even more of a neck deep fix, episode 12 is where you want to go for our original chat with Ben and Matt, and there's a whole host of some of your favorite ever bands.
Yes, we have covered loads of bands, from metal to pop punk to emo to acoustic to pop to extreme metal,
to country, to acting, to OnlyFans.
Comedians, OnlyFans, I forgot about that, yeah. That was a good one, episode
69.
Anyway, yeah, if you've got this far, how, but also thank you. We love you very much. Might be some Sapling merch coming soon. I've been saying that now for a good nearly 2 years, and we've only brought one t-shirt out, so we'll see. Thank you very much to anybody who's sending us design ideas and stuff. We love them and we appreciate them very much, and we will get around to it when my brain isn't on fire.
Yes, thank you very much to everyone. He's been Sean Smith. I've been the now very smart Morgan Richards.
I knew I was coming. Now professional journalist Morgan. He's been absolutely nobody Sean Smith. And I've been somebody with a first degree in journalism, Morgan Richards. Fucking Sapnin. You fucking show off prick.
You're listening to Sapling Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.